Good
morning again. What a pleasure it is to have this privilege to bring God's word to you today. Today our passage will be from Psalms 119, and we'll be looking at the point that is the transforming power of God's word. So before we come into the word, let us pray and ask that He will open our hearts to see Him today. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer today, that You will open our hearts to see You, to hear from You. Lord, please make our hearts tender soil to receive Your words. Lord, we pray that we would learn to love You more, that we would learn to love Your word more. Lord, if there's any weeds, any distractions which are keeping us from giving You our full attention today, we pray that You would uproot those and take them away. And Lord, help us to come into Your presence to receive from You today. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would do His work in each one of our hearts. And we know, Lord, and we claim the promise that Your word will not return void. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and ask them, what is the Bible? Try to answer in one sentence. Hopefully we should be able to define what that is. I heard some say God's word. And that is a good answer. The Bible is at the center of the Christian life, right? If I was to come up and say, you know, open one of the Lord of the Rings books and let's preach from that today, you would hopefully escort me off of the stage. Every Sunday, the preacher says, open your Bible, too. And then we look at one of the passages in God's Word. Because it's in the Bible that God reveals Himself to us. In a recent Bible study, I came... I came to this verse, Deuteronomy 27:8. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And I was encouraged by this because God's law was to be written in public on this stone for all of His people to see and to read. And it was to be written very plainly. It's not a code, okay? It's not an enigma. It's not a deep secret that you need some great scholar to unlock. It is written in plain language so that normal people like you and I can come into it and we can read it and we can benefit from it. That's really what the Reformation is largely about, that every person can read the Bible for himself and understand what God is saying to him. I believe if your country's president or perhaps your favorite sports athlete were to write you a personal letter, that you would probably read it. And you would probably pay careful attention to what he had to say to you. And God has written to us his word, so we should also treasure it. But not all Christians do treasure the Bible. A study of churchgoers in the West found that only 45% of churchgoers read their Bible once a week or more. About 1 in 5 never read their Bibles. And about only 20% read it every day. These are some sad statistics. So I believe if believers just knew how powerful God's word was and how it can transform their life, that they would make the time to read it. Today we're going to look at the Mount Everest of all passages in the Bible on God's word, Psalms 119. The person who wrote this psalm treasured it. His love for scripture permeated every aspect of his life. So I hope that as we study this passage that we also will be inspired to love God's word more. That's my simple goal for the message today, that you'll be inspired to love God's word more. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is 176 verses divided into 22 sections. That is one section for every Hebrew letter of the alphabet. So each section is 8 lines, which we use verses, so 8 verses long. And then each line begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So for example, section 1 is for Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then every letter in the first line of that verse begins with that letter. One could say this is a love song toward scripture. So we're going to do something today that we haven't done before, and that is read the entire psalm in church. It will take around 20 minutes, And I was thinking about whether or not to read this psalm and how to approach this, right? Because obviously it takes a lot of time. So I thought, well, I could shorten it, and then I could talk to you more about my thoughts on this psalm. But then I thought, that's kind of defeating the whole purpose, right? Because the psalm itself is about respecting God's word. So why should we shorten God's word so that I can tell you more of my words? So as we read through, I would encourage you to listen very carefully and to come into the Lord's presence and really meditate. If it helps you to meditate, to close your eyes and do that, but don't sleep. God is watching. Or if it helps you to look at the words or to read along, that's okay. Whatever helps you to really think about those words and to meditate on it, I would like to invite you to do that. So please do not space out as we read this passage, but use this as an opportunity to really be thinking about what is God's word. And I would like to invite you to think of these two questions as we read through it. What is the value of God's word that you see in this passage? And what is the author's attitude towards God's word? And in connection with that, what should our attitude be toward God's word? You can also look at the nouns which are used to represent God's word and to think about those as well. So we're going to read Psalms 119. I would like to invite, we have two readers to read for us today. So Luke Watley and Janelle will come and read for us. I'd like to invite them up. And as they read, let us listen and meditate on his words. Hello. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones, who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors.
My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling, like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame.
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep your testimonies of your mouth.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad.
Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from all evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgment.
I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me, because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.
Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
Amen. That was beautiful. What a beautiful psalm. You can see the writer had a deep, deep respect for God's word. If you imagine how much time he even spent on meditating and writing this psalm, 176 verses, each one talking about God's word in a different way. Throughout this psalm, we see he was experiencing a lot of adversity in his life. He had enemies who were out to get him. He was persecuted. He was afflicted. He was afraid for his life. But throughout all of these difficulties, God's word was a comfort to him. It was his anchor. It gave him hope. It gave him strength. It filled him with joy. It gave him purpose. It gave him direction. So he recognized the truth that God's word has the power to transform our lives. We'll just share a few brief thoughts on this. The first is the word's transforming power. And I encourage you to go through this psalm more slowly on your own. We'll just take an overview of this. But here are a few of the ways that God's word was transforming him and will also transform us. And the verse numbers are written down there. It will bring blessing to the person's life. And it says he will not be put to shame. It will help the person who follows God's word to keep his way pure and righteous and on the right way. It will help us to live a holy life. Many verses say it will bring life to us. It will bring that sustenance from the Lord. We will receive strength. It says his heart will be enlarged. He will have, that means more compassion, more wisdom, more care for others. He received understanding, that understanding and discretion from the Lord to know how to look at this world. So it gives a whole new lens for how to look at life. It says that the one who follows God's word will walk safely. So he will be steady and stable and secure. He receives discernment and knowledge. He receives good. It brings comfort in the midst of affliction. No matter what kinds of difficulties or challenges or trials you are going through, God's word brings comfort. It brings mercy from the Lord. It brings hope. It brings wisdom. It brings understanding. The one who comes to God's word receives guidance and direction. Hence, you see many words about it being a light to our feet and a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It brings joy into our lives. And again, he is safe. So do you want to be a blessed, righteous, safe, strong, wise, secure, hopeful, discerning, stable, and joyful person? Yes, maybe. Yes, amen, right? We want that. That is what God's word does for us. It transforms our life. It has his power inside of it. Many years ago, when I was in university, I chose to go to a Bible school and to major in the Bible. And a lot of unbelievers have asked me about that, especially a lot of people here in this country. The Bible, they say, why? Why are you majoring in the Bible? You know, what use is that? What kind of a job can you get? What can that do for you? They considered it was an old book that was not very relevant. And my answer was always the same. I chose to major in the Bible because it has the power to change my life. And it's the most practical thing I could study. My son often tells me, why am I studying, you know, advanced mathematics? What is the use for daily life? Apologies to any engineers. There is some use. Right? But God's word is practical for all of us every day, no matter what we are doing. Psalms 119:96 says, I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Exceedingly broad. They give us a framework for how to live, a blueprint for how to live. Sometimes people ask me, well, I face this difficulty, and in which page of the Bible tells me exactly what to do in this situation? Obviously, the Bible is not exactly like that, but it gives us the framework. It gives us the principles, and we need to take those principles and then apply them to our life in different situations. Through the Bible, God speaks to every aspect of life. He tells me how to be a husband, how to be a father, the kind of employee that I should be, or the kind of boss that I should be. He tells me how to be a friend. He tells me how to solve conflicts, how to forgive others, how to receive forgiveness, how to communicate with others, how to be wise. He tells me how to be successful, how to invest and use the resources he's given me for good. There's not a day that goes by without opportunities to use that wisdom that we learn from the Bible. Every single waking hour is full of opportunities to apply these principles. And sometimes people think, well, what about, you know, Leviticus or Deuteronomy or those books? Like those, you know, are they relevant to our life today? And the answer is yes. Every single aspect of God's word is relevant to our life today. Andrew, can you flip it? It's not responding very well. So, I saw this tool sometime before in how to interpret the Bible. It's called the Principalizing Bridge. The Principalizing Bridge. And the point of this is you can use this tool to understand how every Bible passage applies to your life today. And you can see some numbers on there. The first question when we come into God's Word is to ask, what did it mean to its original audience? So you don't start off with a question, what does this mean to me, or what does this mean today? We first ask, what did it mean to its original audience? So you can see there on the left side, that represents the ancient town or the ancient village where this was preached. What did it mean to them? After we understand that, then we ask the next question, What are the differences between then and now? So the second point is that river. You can see it says culture, languages, time, situation. There are a lot of differences, right? We are under the New Covenant and the Old Testament. They are under the Old Covenant. So what are the differences? And we need to understand those differences. And then what is the universal principle that is still applicable? That is number three, or that is the bridge. That's when we come from the ancient village where it was preached and want to bring it into our life today. What is the principle that is still applicable? And then four, how can we apply that principle into our lives today? So in a small group Bible study on Friday nights, we've recently been studying the book of Deuteronomy. And we had a lot of opportunities to use this tool to try to understand how those instructions given to the Israelites, a different group of people, thousands of years ago, a different time, in a different place, under a different covenant, is applicable to our life today. I'll just give a couple of examples. So one of the commands in Deuteronomy is, do not move an ancient boundary stone. All right, so you might read that and think, oh, that's not relevant. Do you have a boundary stone in between your property and your neighbor's property? At least not in Guangzhou, we don't have those, right? We have solid walls dividing our apartments from others. So how does that apply? Well, what did it mean to its original audience? Well, they had, you know, large farms, and in between the farms, there would be a stone placed there that shows this is my property here and that's your property there. So don't move it. Don't try to put it over a few meters and gain some space. So what's the differences in our life today? Well, obviously, most of us do not have those kinds of farms or land. We live in apartments. What's the principle? Well, the principle is have integrity towards your neighbors. Love your neighbors as yourself and treat them how you want to be treated. Respect them and respect them in how you use even perhaps the common space in your apartment building. So love your neighbors as yourself and deal with them with integrity. How can we apply it to our lives today? So in our Bible study group, we were talking about that, and some said, well, you should not use up too much of the common area. Some apartments, you've seen people, you know, put all their stuff out near the elevators, all their bicycles, all their things, and they want to kind of claim that for their own. Actually, my own landlord, the place we are renting, they actually built a second door 2 meters past the first door into the hallway to claim more of that space for their own. So yeah, don't do this. So respect your neighbors and their property. And so a second one could be, for example, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, when you see your neighbor's ox in a pit, then get it out. Did any of you, maybe on the way to church this morning, you saw a pit on the side of the road and there was maybe an ox stuck there? And you thought, oh, I need to get that out before I go to church. So obviously, it's very, very different from our lives today. And when you first read that, you might think, how is that relevant to me? Well, for them, they had a lot of animals, right? And the animals were very important for them. If someone lost their ox, then they won't be able to plow the fields and plant and get a harvest and provide for their family. So the principle is, again, love your neighbors as yourself and do to them what you want them to do to you. So coming forward into how can we apply it to our lives today, our Bible study group, we were talking about this, and some said, well, you know, we don't see our neighbor's animals, but we see their lost phone or their lost wallet, right? So if you see these items, you can pick it up and you can try to find a way, right? That means you have to take extra time in order to try to return it to that person. I've had that happen for me before. I left the phone in a DB and he found a way to call me and contact me and bring it back. Wow, so gracious. And I also know another brother who lost his phone in a DB. That DB driver was not nearly so helpful in returning that phone. So love your neighbors as yourself. That means lift up your eyes, look at what are the needs around you, and reach out a hand, even if it takes time, even if it takes effort, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's kind of dirty and sweaty, right? Changing tires by the side of the road. Whatever it is, let's love our neighbors as ourselves. So when we have this mentality, we can see, well, all of the Bible is relevant to our life today, and it's powerful to transform our lives. So there are many reasons to believe that the Bible is true, And one of the many reasons is that it changes lives. Millions upon millions of lives have been changed by the truth in God's Word. It does not return void. If we had time for testimonies today, I believe one after another of you could come up and tell you how God's Word has changed your life. Because it is living and it is active. The psalmist loved God's Word because he recognized its power to transform his life. Do you recognize that power? So because he saw that power and that value, it changed his attitude. So the second thing I want to look at is our attitude toward the Word. And do we highly value God's Word like that? I just want to bring out a few verses for us to look at. There are so many, it's hard to choose, but we'll just pick a few. So Psalm 119:72, he says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." So my son, Jojo, he likes to play a game with me called Would You Rather. I don't know if you ever played that. So he asks lots of questions to me every day. He says, "Dad, would you rather?" And he asks me these things. He says, "Would you rather have hands for your feet or feet for your hands? You know, what would you rather have?" It's tough. So, would you rather? Would you rather top the world's richest person list and have no access to the Bible? Or would you rather be poor with the Bible? Ooh. Oh, that's tough. This psalmist preferred to hear from God than to have everything that the world offers. He says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. He made his choice what he would rather have. What about you? Psalms 119:16, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your words." If you read through this passage, you can see this word delight often. And so it shows that his attitude towards God's Word, it was not a burden to him to read the Word. He didn't groan and say, "Oh, again?" He loved it. Because of that, he remembered it. Oh, if we would have that same attitude. We wake up in the morning and instead of, I have my chapters of Bible reading, we are eager and we delight in reading that. When you were growing up, did you ever say, "I forgot about your homework or your chores"? "I forgot to do my homework. I forgot to do my chores." I know we said that a lot. I had 8 brothers and sisters, including me, and "I forgot" was a common refrain. For those who have children, you probably heard this quite often too, right? "I forgot." If your child is knowing that he's going to a birthday party the next day, would he forget that? No. Would he remind you of that? Probably many times. "Dad, you know, it's coming. Remember to take me. I have this thing to go to." So it's really a matter of priorities. We forget things because they're not as important to us as they should be. So the delighter, right, the delights in reading Scripture. He's not going to forget it. Let us have that same delight towards God's Word. Another verse. He says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." Note that word, consumed. It was his passion. He was zealous about it. They filled his mind. They were his priority. And I love this one in verse 23. He says, "Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes." A very interesting verse. Even when he's being afflicted or persecuted by others, people are out to get his life. You think, well, what would a person's priority be at that time? Probably running, escaping, surviving, fighting back, whatever. But he says, even in those times, "I'll meditate on your statutes." So at the worst times of life, the busiest times of life, I will meditate. I will take the time to think about your word. Sometimes when we do not read God's word, we say, "Oh, I was busy. My life was difficult. You don't know the challenges that have been facing me." God knows those. And let us find time even when we are busy, that we will not allow these things around us to distract us from him. So the difficulties drove him to God, not away from God. Psalms 119:103, he said this. He said, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So now you're familiar with the game, Would You Rather? So we can do it again. Would you rather have a delicious meal of your favorite foods, which you can't get in China probably, or spend 30 minutes in God's Word? This writer says, your words are sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey. Honey was a luxurious thing that they couldn't get at that time. They didn't have all the sugar access that we have to now. And he says, look, I prefer your word to those things. So if you were to have, you know, a Bible on one table and a juicy steak, homemade ice cream on another table, he says, I'm choosing the Bible. That's what I want. So how about you? Oh, that we would have a heart like that towards God's Word. Some of you are probably thinking both, right? I'll read the Bible first, then I'll go have the meal. That's okay too, right? It doesn't mean you can't do that. That's fine. But if there was a choice, right? If you have to choose one or the other, which one would you choose? So if you're not quite there yet, you're probably a normal person. Just spend a moment in prayer, and that's what I hope will happen today, is you have more of a heart for God's Word. And you can just pray to Him and say, God, I'm not quite there yet. I don't love your Word as I should. I'm not as hungry for it as I should. Please help me. So I hope that you will do that. Say that prayer. Ask God to give you that heart for His Word. So if you have that kind of attitude toward God's Word, what will you do? Well, you will spend a lot of time in it. And we see a number of these verses in the text that he talks about the time he spent in God's Word. He says in verses 147 through 148, he says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. There's that word again, meditate. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. In verse 164, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. So in the morning, he wakes up and his first thoughts go to God. During the day, he's busy, but he meditates on God's law. So 7 times during the day, and 7 is a number in the Bible that signifies completeness. He's doing it again and again and again throughout the day. So it's not like, okay, I had my quiet time and I'm done, you know, xiaban, I can be off for the rest of the day. It's like, that starts, right? I read it and I get it here and then it's here so I can continue thinking about it throughout the day, thinking especially, how do I do it? How do I obey it? How do I apply that to my life today, in my relationships, in my communication, in my studies, in my work? And then late at night, before he sleeps, he's still meditating on it. So it's like a sandwich, where his first thought in the day is of God, and the middle, the meat, is also of God, and then his last thought of the day is also of God. So the beginning, the end, and in the middle as well. Our lives would be transformed if we had this same attitude. Many times we're not like that. We wake up and we think, well, I have a busy day. I need to get started. What do I need to do? And we get into that, what do I need to do today mode. And then we get busy and perhaps skip our Bible reading or postpone it until the evening. Then, because during the day we think, oh, I'll read it tonight. That's okay. Then night comes and we think, oh, I'm kind of tired now. And, well, I'll read it tomorrow morning. And then the cycle may start again. So let's train ourselves to be consistent and pray that God will give us that heart to love His Word, that heart of hunger toward Him, so that He's our first thought and He's our last thought each day. So I want to come to the conclusion. How do we do this? We see God's Word is so great, so deep, so amazing, it can transform our life. And I want to introduce to you a tool just to show you there's 5 ways to get into God's Word. And these 5 ways are really important for us to get a whole grasp on God's Word. So for this, I need one helper, one volunteer. Anyone? Oh, here's one. What a surprise. What a coincidence. Thank you, Solomon. So Solomon is going to help me to demo this a little bit. So as we will see, there's a hand which shows us 5 ways that we can hold tightly onto the Word of God. And if you hold on to God's Word with only one or two of these fingers, these ways, then it will be easy for you to be swayed by culture. So we're going to say that he represents either culture or temptation, the devil, our old flesh, whatever bad thing you want him to represent, that's him, that's Solomon. No offense. He's just acting, okay? He's a really nice guy. So let's consider if we're doing these five ways or not. So the first way is to hear God's word. What can we do to hear it? Well, you can go to church like you're doing now. You can listen to it read as we did earlier. You can ask questions from your Christian friends and listen to sermons online. There's a lot of ways to hear and get God's word into our life. So let's say that you use these. And so that gives you one finger on God's word. It's really hard to hold, but I'm going to try. Okay, that's one finger. All right, so I just hear God's word. So I get it into my life some. The devil comes. It's going to try it. Let me try it. I'm just going to hear more. Okay, check it. All right. Yeah. Not very successful if we just hear. So hearing is great. This is a good first step. There's many resources, many ways we can hear, listen to God's word. That's good. But we need to go deeper to get a better grip on God's word. So the next way is to read. This is the most basic way to understand the Bible. So it's great to listen to other believers and have them explain God's word to us. But a growing believer must have their own relationship with the Lord. That means you need to spend your own time in God's word, reading it and understanding it for yourself. Jesus himself often, even when he was busy, he would not by himself, right, to pray and spend that time with the Lord. And remembering, as we read, the goal is not just get through it, but really to be thinking about what we read. So let's say you read it, you hear it, and you read it on your own. So you have a better grip. This is easier for me now. Let's see. All right. Let me try one more time. I need more pinky strength. Okay. Yeah, so two ways is better, right? It's kind of like even better than double as good as one way. But it's still not enough. We need to go deeper to get that firm root to hold on to God's word where it cannot be taken away. So the third method is to study. Studying goes deeper than simply reading. It's examining the scriptures with a purpose or to look at a specific topic like prayer. What does the Bible say about prayer? How can I pray? Or with a specific question, what can I learn from God's word about marriage? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? And to look at the Bible with that purpose and intent. I want to see what God is speaking to me. And to study it. And it's very helpful in Bible study groups to do that together with others. You know, one day we will face a heavenly exam to see how well we understand and apply the scriptures. So I was thinking, like, there's a lot of students, right? And there's a difference between reading and studying. Reading, okay, and studying, you really are intent. So we need to have that intention towards God's word. So let's say I study God's word regularly. I hear it, I read it, and I study it. My grip is getting stronger and stronger. You don't have three fingers on it. Okay, alright. I was trying, okay? I wasn't picking it. I was really trying. So, that's better, okay? It's getting more, right? But we can still get an even firmer grip on God's Word. So the next one is to memorize God's Word. Memorizing God's Word is really, really important way to overcome temptation. If you remember when Jesus himself was tempted, what did he do? He recited God's word. Every time Satan came to him with a temptation, he recited God's word. So when you memorize it, it's right here, right? You can pull it out at any time. And the Holy Spirit uses it to convict you and to remind you. Also, I think it was in Psalm 119. How can a man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's helpful to have a wide variety of verses which we memorize on different topics. We can have them ready as tools in our memory banks so that we are ready to face any kind of situation. So I would encourage you to be memorizing God's Word on a regular basis. It's really helpful to do that with maybe an accountability partner or a friend and say, let's just come together once a week. It could be on WeChat and let's recite a verse or two, or if you want to go more, recite more. Anyone memorize all of Psalm 119 before? No? All right, that could be a later goal. So start with like two a week and then work your way up to Psalm 119. Okay, so four. All right, it's getting better. I'm feeling somewhat confident. Not too confident. Yeah! All right. Yeah. Still not quite there. Because the thumb is really important, right? We need that thumb. So the fifth one is super important. And the fifth one goes together with all of the other four. And it's also something that the writer mentioned many times in Psalms 119, meditate. That word was there over and over and over again. Meditate. To think about the word. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. So meditation is the key to all of the other methods. It's the thumb. So when you are hearing, like just now we are listening to God's word being read, if your mind is absent somewhere else, thinking about sports or lunch, you're not going to really get anything out of it. It means we need to engage our mind to think about that text. So we do that when we hear, when we listen to a sermon or a Bible study or an audio Bible. But also when we read, we need to be meditating on what we read and thinking about it. Think, what does this mean? How does it apply to me? What can I do? The same thing when we study God's word. How do I do this in my life? How do I apply this? And then also as we memorize God's word, it will be there. And then that's the kind of throughout the day part, we can continue to meditate and think about it. So if you practice these five methods, you can hold on to the word of life. No matter if temptations or trials or the devil himself comes, you can hold on to it. Our world has a lot of, you know, shifting sands and moral relativity, so we need to be able to hold firmly onto God's word. All right, the final test. To be fair, you can only use one hand, but I'll allow you to. Okay. Thank you, Solomon. I did tell him, don't take it from me on the last one, even if you could, okay? So, that is five ways to get God's word into our life. So I hope you'll think about these five ways. Are you doing all five, or maybe one or two of them you're not doing so much? How can you grow and improve in that? We'll have a time in just a moment to talk about that in the discussion time. So God's word has the power to transform our lives. Let us have the right attitude toward it. I would like us to pray this scripture together, and then we'll have a discussion time. So if you can read it first to see if you agree with this. Never pray anything you don't agree with. And if you agree with it, then you can say it along with me. Please stand up. So today I hope we will learn to love God's word more, because it has the power to change our lives. Let us pray that God will give us that right heart towards his word. If you agree with this, you can pray together with me, starting from the beginning. 1, 2, 3. In the way of your testimonies, let me delight as much as in all riches. Please help me to meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Please give me delight in your statutes and help me to not forget your word. As I pray here, you can also give your own prayer to the Lord about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. You're not a creator who just made this world and left us to our own devices or left us guessing about who you are or what you want us to do. You've given us, Lord, a clear plan for how you want us to live. And you've told us your plan for what you are doing, your plan of salvation. You have revealed yourself to us so that through your word we can know who you are. We can see your heart of love, your grace and your mercy. We can see your holiness, your justice, your righteousness. We can see that you're omniscient and omnipresent, omnipotent. Lord, we can see all of your character revealed to us in your word. We thank you that you have opened our eyes to see you. And I pray, Lord, you would continue to open our eyes. I pray that you would give us a heart to love your word more. Lord, that we could say that it is sweeter than the sweetest other thing in our life, that we desire it more than riches, more than health, more than comfort, more than convenience, Lord, more than any relationship in this world, that we desire you more than all of this. Lord, in the end, we know also your word is just a bridge or a tool, Lord, to come to you. Lord, we hope that we will love you like that, and that your word will lead us into your presence to know you better. Lord, we pray that you would lead us and guide us even during our discussion time now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll have a short time of discussion. Here are the discussion questions. I would invite you now to make a group of three or four people. And you can see two questions. The first one is meant to be very brief. It says one sentence for a reason, to make it brief and fast. And then the second one, we'll have a little more time there. So please go ahead and start your discussion time.